Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Parents across the country are grappling with a nationwide baby formula shortage that's hitting some states much harder than others. An analysis by Datassembly, a startup that provides retailers with real-time product data, has found that in the last 2 weeks alone, the percentage of out-of-stock baby formula in the U.S. went from around 30% up to 40%, and 40% is really high, being out of stock of something, with some states hitting higher than 50%. But this story began, at least in part, back in February when Abbott Nutrition, the leading manufacturer of baby formula, recalled lots of Similac, Alimentum, and Elicare powder formula after at least four babies were hospitalized with bacterial infection and at least two babies died. So joining me to discuss what's behind the nationwide shortage of baby formula and how parents can seek help is Helena Bottomiller-Evich, senior food and agriculture reporter at Politico. Helena, thanks so much for coming on. Welcome to WNYC.
Thanks for having me.
And listeners, we're going to open up the phones right away on this. Is anyone listening right now experiencing the shortage personally? If so, how do you compensate for it? And what advice would you give other parents who might be struggling? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Help us report the story of the baby formula shortage with your stories and advice if you have advice. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. What's the scope of the shortage? You recently tweeted the severity of the shortage appears to differ greatly based on where you live and which retailer you shop at. So where is it concentrated?
It's such a good question. I think everyone is experiencing this supply chain strain differently. So for example, I live on Capitol Hill and in Washington, D.C., and my Safeway is about 60 to 70% stocked. So for sure, if you're looking for a particular type or brand of formula, if your baby has, you know, a dairy sensitivity or some allergies, you're having a really tough time finding exactly what you need, but there is still formula like on my neighborhood grocery store shelves. But this is, as you mentioned, these are not normal stocking rates. So pre-COVID, you would expect 95% of the SKUs in an infant formula section to be stocked. That would be considered normal. But we've really had a strained supply chain with infant formula for many months. I mean, on and off throughout COVID, but really since last summer, stocking rates started to go down. They were quite bad over the holidays. And then you mentioned this really massive recall in February from Abbott Nutrition, which makes Similac the number one brand of infant formula in the US. And that recall really sort of tipped this over over the edge. And now that plant, which is in Sturgis, Michigan, the one tied to the bacterial infections, that plant has been shut down for 3 months, and it was a really sizable chunk of the whole U.S. infant formula supply. So FDA and Abbott say they are essentially negotiating how to reopen that plant, but it has really strained an already difficult supply situation.
And you recently tweeted that in light of the formula shortage, one thing I'd bet we'll hear more about, the infant formula industry is extremely consolidated, but is often left out of the antitrust conversation. So how consolidated is it, and do we know why?
Yeah, so there are four companies, Abbott, Mead Johnson, Nestle, and Perrigo that really control about 90% of the market. So that's pretty consolidated. And I think the top two, Abbott and Mead Johnson, control something like 2/3. I mean, it's really quite concentrated. There are a lot of reasons for this. I think one is probably that, you know, infant formula is one of the most highly regulated food products that we have in the U.S. I think people understand why, right? It's a vulnerable population. Mm-hmm. But there's also some other things at play here. The WIC program, which gives free formula to low-income families. About half of all babies in the U.S. qualify for WIC. They do exclusive contracts at the state level. So states are often either like a Similac state or Mead Johnson state. And there are definitely analysts who think that that program has probably helped fuel some of this consolidation. I'm looking for, you know, a more up-to-date analysis on this to try to suss some of that out. As you mentioned, infant formula is often left completely out of these antitrust conversations. You know, we tend to hear a lot about, you know, another food component, which is the meat processing industry. We hear about that a lot, and that there's a lot of debate about that. But we tend to not hear much at all about this industry, which is interesting.
On the advice that parents are seeking, if they're coping with the baby formula shortage that's actually leaving them short, maybe we should start with some unsolicited advice that they may be getting. Just breastfeed. Can you help unpack why this is not a reality for some parents as an option?
Yeah. You know, I tweeted this yesterday. I'm personally a big supporter of breastfeeding. I was lucky enough to be able to breastfeed my child, but this is just not an option for a lot of people. I mean, and it's also not a preference that a lot of people have. I mean, to tell parents that they should breastfeed in a country that doesn't have paid leave or, you know, access to lactation support or kind of all the other things you would need to make that happen is, I think, really unfortunate. I think it really puts a lot of shame and responsibility on parents when they truly lack the support. So there are many reasons why a family might not be using human milk. It could be a medication that doesn't jive. It could be, you know, maybe the mom had breast cancer and can't breastfeed. Maybe there are mental health issues, health concerns. Some women just don't make enough milk. I think it's such an important point that even if you are a big supporter of breastfeeding and want more women to have support, you can still understand why large swaths of the country are not going to do that. And formula is how we feed the majority of our infants in this country. So I think it's just the reality that we have to face that this is a life-saving product. And the fact that many families are having difficulty accessing it right now is really urgent. And the response cannot be, oh, you just need to breastfeed. It's just not a reasonable response. Families who are short, you know, should the first, mm-hmm. if you truly are short, like you cannot find supply, the number one tip that the Academy of Pediatrics is giving families is to get in touch with your pediatrician or another doctor and start there first before you seek, you know, making your own formula, watering down formula. The first call should really be to a pediatrician or other healthcare provider who can help you navigate what safe options are. But hopefully, you know, local grocers, parents groups, Buy Nothing, social media, you know, there are ways that parents can try to connect with other parents to get what they need right now.
Well, I'm going to take that advice to connect with a pediatrician, because we're getting a caller from Tenafly, Dr. Brian Rudolph, who says he's a pediatric gastroenterologist. Dr. Rudolph, thank you for calling in. Hello.
Hi, thanks so much for having me. I just wanted to point out a couple of things. First of all, there are a lot of formulas that are designed for children and even adults with certain genetic or metabolic diseases. These are people who need these formulas to survive. They can't eat regular foods or drink regular milk, for example. And so for these children and many adults as well, this is really all that they have. And it's quite dangerous and concerning for them. I'm hearing stories from colleagues all around the country having issues with this. And again, I wanted to point out it is older children and adults as well. There are substitutes for some of these formulas, but many of them don't have many equal substitutes. And so they really are limited in what they can have, and these are life-saving medications for them.
What are you telling your patients who are getting in touch with you about these shortages? And I hear you about the people who are on adult and older child liquid diets, I guess, these nutritional formulas, for whatever medical reasons. How are you helping them? How can you help them?
So there's a couple things. In the short term, we try our best to reach out to vendors and suppliers that may have the formulas that can help find where they are and point parents in the right direction. Obviously, if there are appropriate substitutes, we can direct families to those options as well. We do keep some stores, if we can, of different formulas, and we can hold people over until they're able to find what they can in some situations, but it's not easy. On the longer term, there's federal legislation that's pending called the Medical Nutrition Equity Act that was introduced in Congress that seeks to solve some of these issues. It seeks to force insurance companies to pay for these formulas for children with these genetic and metabolic diseases that aren't able to take regular foods, and hopefully will have a long-term impact. And we always encourage people to contact their local congressional members and advocate for these families.
Thank you. Thank you, Doctor. Thank you so much for calling in. Linnea in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Linnea.
Hi, can you hear me all right?
Can hear just fine.
Great, great. Just wanted to say thank you for talking about this issue. I recently had twins prematurely, and it's been very difficult to get the NeoSure, which is a Similac product made from the Abbott facilities, formula. You know, you try shopping online at Amazon. A lot of the stores also, like Target and Stop and Shop, that are supposed to carry it will still list it as being available, but then you actually go there and show up and there isn't any there. It's pretty difficult to get. And I am breastfeeding in addition to doing the formula, but like whether or not I will have enough supply for two babies as they continue to grow is, you know.
It must be so anxiety producing.
Yeah, a bit.
And what are you doing? Anything in particular to obtain formula outside of your local Target and Stop and Shop?
So we did get an initial case from the hospital after I shared with them how I was unable to find it. So we were able to get a case when they came home from the NICU. But beyond that, I'm not sure. I know switching formulas can be difficult, and there's only some that are really rated for preemies. So we'll be talking with our pediatrician about that. But beyond that, I might just give up on using the formula and breastfeed. But I know that's not, you know, I'm lucky that I've never had issues with milk supply and that I have the time and I'm supported at work for breastfeeding when I do eventually go back to work. But that's not a reality for most people, and generally trying to work and breastfeed in this country is very difficult.
Linnea, thank you for your story and good luck with your twins. Alex in Greenwich Village, you're on WNYC. Hi, Alex.
Oh, that's me. Hi. I was wondering if your guest knew of any like local networks that were trying to fill in the gap with breast milk and kind of like a buy nothing like milk bank thing. I was surprised that the milk banks didn't get coverage in the Times story that was very long and only about the formula. So I'm wondering if your guests can talk about that, like substitutions that, because we will need to substitute because the formula just isn't available, right?
Thank you, Alex. Helena, do you know about this?
Yeah, it's a good question. Milk banks, for the most part, are used actually in NICUs, I believe. So like they're highly regulated and moms can donate extra milk and it's like screened for a lot of different things because there is some research that shows in the NICU, breast milk can be, donor milk can be helpful for improving outcomes. I don't think that that is an option like at the scale that we would need to help replace formula. Certainly there are informal groups of moms that share breast milk, but that is something that makes public health folks pretty nervous because there's just no regulations around it. There's no sort of safety check. So that is not really something you see endorsed by major health groups. Certainly communities of moms can choose to do that on their own. There is a lot happening sharing formula on parents groups, on Buy Nothing, you know, Facebook groups that are dedicated to neighborhoods, or you know, next door. On Instagram, there is an account called The Formula Mom, and she has some resources, including like an actual exchange setup for parents all over the country to sort of connect with each other. Like, oh, I have an extra can of this kind, you know, I can send it to you here. So there is a lot of that kind of stuff happening to try to support parents to parents, which I think is great. And so far, I'm seeing a lot of people give formula away. You know, one of the interesting things here is these companies are still sending out marketing, like promotional cans to families unsolicited. So I'm seeing a lot of those cans get given away to families.
We just have about 30 seconds left, but some of the other things that I see, doctors and the American Academy of Pediatrics are recommending against. One is watering baby formula down to make it last longer because it won't have enough nutrition. Also making homemade baby formula. The CDC recently reported that at least three infants were treated over the past year or so in separate emergency departments in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Delaware. And I guess the last question, we just have 15 seconds for an answer, is when can the babies go to cow's milk or other solid food?
I think once your kid is over 6 months, you can lean a lot more heavily on solid foods. You can start introducing solid foods as early as 4 months if your child shows signs of readiness. But they really recommend against, you know, switching to cow's milk until the baby is, you know, over 6 months, really closer
and there
to a year.
We have to leave it with Helena Bonamilla-Evich, senior food and agriculture reporter at Politico, on the baby formula shortage. Thank you so much. Very informative.
Thank you.